Well, James and Molly, thank you very much for being with us this morning. And not just being with us, but leading us in worship. What a wonderful name is the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. I trust God has something for us this morning. And as we've been praying and trusting God to do something in our lives, in my life, I've been praying for the same thing for you. I'm really humbled to be before you now this morning to bring the word of God. It's not my word, it's the word of God. And I trust that he's going to have his way as we get into the word of God and desiring to be closer to him, and also not just to be closer to him, but to leave this place knowing that we've been in the presence of the Lord. As I was praying about what the Lord wants me to share with you, it strongly came about preaching and sharing about the love of God. And so when I got the songs and I looked at them, I was really amazed at the way God works out things. It was to me a confirmation that surely God wanted me to talk about your love. And that's one of the things that all of us who are here today have experienced. You know what the love of God is and how powerful and how mighty that love is. So with that, I decided to give this message a title, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And so I want us to look at several scriptures today. There are a lot of scriptures talking about love. And I was looking and preparing for this. I just found out that we have 130 million books written about love. If you know the current population, it's about 7 billion. So I was thinking about that. Even if you try to divide that, probably each group of 53 people will have a book about love. So 53 can share a book. And of course, I didn't really go into detail to look and to find out what kind of love are they talking about. I want us to look at the love that brought you and brought me to where we are today. And that's the love of God, the agape love. When we talk about the love of the Father, we refer to that agape love. Because that's a love that has action. It's a love that sacrifices. I look at the definition and say agape love is a sacrificial love that voluntarily suffers inconveniences, discomfort, and even death to the benefit of another without expecting anything in return. We are called to agape love through Christ's example. If you look at Ephesians 5, 1 to 2, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ walked, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So I want us to think about that very love that Christ became the example of. Agape love is not the feeling. Growing up, I had a very good and dear friend who was also my teacher. And one day he told me, Gordon, you know what? If feeling is what we have to live with, God could have put our feelers out. Like the animals, you know, when they have the feelers. But God knew very well that we don't need feelers. We are not people who are driven by feelings. And I realized that if we have to go by feelings, few of us will be here this morning. I know, I've talked to some people, and just the way you're feeling in the morning is just like, you know, do I really feel like getting up? It's one of the days when the weather is so good, it's dark a little bit, and it's little rain, and it's just so good to sleep in. So you decided not to go with your feelings. You went with the inner man. So Christ gave us that. But he says that it's not feeling, but it's motivation for action that we are free to choose and reject. So it's one of those things that you have to make a choice over. Making choices are difficult. But this agape love, you have to choose. I've choose to love you. And this is what happened. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So in looking at the love of God, which is the agape love, I want to look at three things. The first thing is centered around God. The second thing will be centered about Christ. And the last one that we'll be using as a way of application will be centered about us, or rather on us. So when God, in his love, right from the beginning, the Bible is clear that God created us in his own image. That defines the love of God. He created everything. He made everything that was supposed to be. And when it came to man, he created man in his own image. That's how dear and close we are to God. Now, when you go to Genesis 2:3, it talks about the fall of man. God created man in his own image. He put Adam where he was fellowshipping with him day and night. The Bible records that he was in fellowship with Adam throughout. So God in his love was monitoring and fellowshipping and enjoying the relationship that he had with the man he created in his own image. And now, when he looked at Adam and was fellowshipping with Adam, he noticed something about Adam. And it's like, you know what? It's not good for him to be alone. That was the relationship they had. The relationship that makes him feel and see what's happening in the man he loved and he created in his own image. So in taking action, God made Eve so that they will keep each other company, demonstrating the very love of God. And when God did that, sin came in. He gave Adam instructions on how you're going to live, how we're going to continue in this love, in this fellowship that we're having together. When sin came in, Adam was separated from God. Sin separated him from God. I want you to think about that. It's Adam who decided to run away from God, Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they felt guilty. Who came to look for Adam? It was God. And God knew what Adam didn't know. He didn't know that God knew he had already sinned. But God knew that. And God went and looked for Adam and Eve. When God looked for Adam and Eve, he lovingly called them and instructed them and even rebuked them in love. Who told you you're naked? I mean, I was just thinking about that conversation that's going on between him, you know? But he was so much in love with them, he wanted to continue in that very fellowship with them. So that made him to take action. And Christ was there, amen? He was seeing how God was doing all this because they were together. Before Adam and Eve were created, Christ was there. And so God used the very opportunity to demonstrate his love for the man that he created in his own image. So one of the things that God had to do was to pay for their sin, to sacrifice. So he demonstrated the agape love by giving his only begotten son. Okay? That was a sacrifice. He said, you know what? The only thing that will bring man back to me, I need that fellowship. I'm longing for that fellowship with man. So I'm going to give my only son. It was the love God had for Adam and Eve that made him to sacrifice his only begotten son. That's the love of God. God Almighty, the love that he has for you and me. And that's the love we're talking about. How deep the Father's love is for us. And Christ, understanding the kind of love that the Father had for his people, Christ acted because of the love of the Father. He loved God so much that he couldn't see himself not doing what the Father wanted him to do. He understood that this is the love of my Father. And because I love my Father so much, I will do what my Father is asking me to do, to save the mankind, to restore that fellowship that they were having with Adam and Eve. My brother, my sister, that's the kind of love that we are talking about, the agape love. How deep the Father's love is for us. Jesus loved his Father. And so he was not forced to do that. He willingly accepted the assignment. In the culture where I come from, they were doing something that we'll call the matchmaking. It's equivalent to matchmaking. Okay? And so I thank God I was not there when the time came for me to look for a wife. Because in that culture, the aunties actually were more of looking for the suitable wife for their nephews. And so it was a work that everybody was doing, and they see who you are, and they see who the girl is, and they work things out. And you know, one of the things that I didn't like about the whole thing, I don't know whether you find you don't love somebody, what do you when they have already been given to you? So that's one of the things that I was kind of worried about, because actually you cannot force love. You cannot. Nobody will force you to love anybody. It's a choice. When I became a Christian, that's one of the things that really touched my life, in knowing how God loved me, because I did not want God. I did not want salvation, I have to be honest. I had a lifestyle, I had plans that I wanted to do. And so I was thinking about being a Christian is not going to give me the freedom of doing what I want to do. And so getting to the Word of God was not one of the things I really wanted in my life. But God kept on seeking me. Every time I was going to do wrong, there was something within me reminding me that that's not what you need to be doing. God put that in each and every person. We do wrong knowing that we are doing wrong, because we find ourselves having no peace. So love is not one thing that somebody can force on you. It is impossible to have this kind of love without God being part of it. Therefore, we need a Savior. You need a Savior, I need a Savior to have this kind of love. In John 15, which actually where I'm basing my own old sermon, John 15, Christ was talking about dwelling with him, being in, he's the tree, it's a vine. And he was talking to the disciples about abiding in him. He said, abide in me. But when he reached chapter 15, verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned For my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. So Christ, having been with his disciples, it's a time when he was commanding them. This is a command. This agape love is a command. He walked with them, he knew them. But one thing that I want us to think about, why this agape love has to come from God, is that it's a love that comes in knowing God. Who is God? When you look at the Old Testament, right from the beginning, Adam knew God. He walked with God. He knew God. So even when God was fellowshipping with him, he knew God. Abraham came to know God. He wanted to know, who is this God? And the Bible says that when God appeared to Abraham, he asked who this God is. God introduced himself to Abraham. By then it was Abraham. When God introduced himself to him, he didn't question God. He did exactly what God was telling him to do. He walked with God after that. When Moses came in contact with God, he wanted to know who this God is. And when God introduced himself to Moses, his life was not the same. Because he came to know who God is and understood the love of God. God was introducing himself to these people because he had something that he wanted them to do, to demonstrate the very love we are talking about today. So when you look at the great love, God, the greatest, the Almighty God, with his mighty love, reaching out for you and I to demonstrate the love that he has for you. Who am I? Who are you? That God will come down for you. Christ left his throne above to come for you and for me because of that very love. We ran away, but God, in his love, in his deepest love, reached out for us. We became empty as a result of running away from God. The hatred that we are seeing, the pain that we are seeing because we do not understand the love of God. We know God, but there are times when we forget about that love of God, that love of God that reaches out to you when you are running away from him. That very love of God. This is the love of God that will make the promises of God come right. Because Christ was teaching that if you abide in me and I abide in you, that's where this love has to come from. It's not a love that you will do on your own. It's not love that I will practice on my own. It's a love that I'm going to practice because of Christ in me. So God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. And Christ loved the Father so much that he gave his life for you and me. And that was not the end of it. He came and he died on the cross. He resurrected. And having gone through everything that you're going through, he left the Holy Spirit to be with you. He knew what it is to keep this love. He knew what it is to be able to practice this love. And he left the Holy Spirit to guide and to teach us on how to love. And Christ is praying for you and me. What deep love. How deep the Father's love is for us. Church, this is agape love. Now, there are times when I worry about the situation in which we are in right now. But when I think about God's love and his faithfulness, I have a big hope for church. There are times when you think like the church is dying. But church is not dying. God is at work because he's a faithful God. This very love can give us hope when there's no hope. knowing that God loves you. God loved you so much that even if it was just you, Christ could have still come to die for you. Amen? This is the deep love that will move you out of your own comfort. You know, we are living in a culture or a time when people are lovers of themselves. And that's one thing that Paul was teaching Timothy and telling Timothy, do not. I want you to think about the love of God. We are selfish. If it's not benefiting me, forget about it. We don't want sacrifice. And I want to tell you there's a clear evidence of this. Even for us Christians, we are like in the comfort zone. Every now and then I'm being reminded of that. That, you know, if God did not act and gave his son, none of us will be here today. Now, when you continue looking at the people who came to know God and the knowing, the knowledge of God, the impact the knowledge of God had in them, we cannot forget to talk about Paul. He was Saul. He was persecuting Christians. He didn't have the love of God. He didn't understand. He didn't know God. But the Bible records that on his way to Damascus when he met with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, when God came to appear to him, and he asked, who are you, Lord? And God introduced himself to him. Paul's life was never the same, amen? Because he understood. He came to know who God was, and he came to understand the love of God. He who was persecuting Christians, and actually Christ said, I am Christ that you persecute. His life was not the same because he had no knowledge of who God is and he understood the love of God. This very deep love we're talking about, it's crazy love. And that's what God is calling us for today. If we can have the crazy love for Christ, we are going to love Christ, we are going to love God, understand who he is, what his love is, and we are going to act. And that's the act that will bring church together. That's the act that will make us go extra mile. The selfishness will get off us because Christ is in us. He did not spare his own life. He gave it, demonstrating the love of God. And that's what God wants us to do today. Church, I have a lot of hope and confidence that God is going to do this. In these last days, when the world is pushing so hard that we hate each other, that we be selfish and think about ourselves, not the other people, God is at work. Amen? Amen. He's going to raise men and women who will love and demonstrate the love of God to the world that hates everybody, that the world will see that we are Christians by our love. Amen? So let's have hope in Christ Jesus. One of the things that I was thinking about, and that really contributed to my giving my life to the Lord, was a man that I loved so much and admired in my life. And that was my father. When my father became a Christian, he came from a heathen family. They didn't know anything about God. But God transformed and changed his life. I was born when my father was already a Christian. And I looked at my dad and I admired him all the time. But one thing that I admired about him more than anything else is that when he came to know God, his life was not the same. He made changes in his life, very radical kind of changes. Up to the time when my dad was called to go and be with the Lord, the testimony that I could hear everybody saying that when my dad became a Christian, he went to his mom and said, because of what Christ has done to me, I'm different. I'm not going to be part of this. I'm today choosing Christ. And so I know you had 5 kids, but today count me out because I'm not going to be part of this because of the change that Christ has done in my life. And you know, he said that when he became a Christian, and that's what he did until the time when the Lord called him home. In 1986, he had a stroke, and I had opportunity to be with my dad in the hospital for 3 months. He couldn't talk, he couldn't do anything, he had to learn to do everything. But what shocked me, that when the first day he was able to speak, he thought of what he was going to do. He had left and he promised somebody that he was going to get that lady something. It's one of the grandmas in the village. And so when he was able to speak, he said, you know what, I have a debt. And so my small mind is like, what kind of a debt does my dad have? So I was worried about that, because that's the first word coming out of his mouth. And he said, I had promised her that I was going to see her the evening that I had this thing. And I feel like I failed. I did not do that. So I want you to go to her and let her know that I have had it. The Lord taught him about his love, and that love was demonstrated in every area of his life. And that shocked me, that he loved his God so much. I mean, there's nothing that he was doing that was away from God. He loved us because God loved him. He wanted to be a father like the Father God. And so this is one of the things that makes me have confidence. God changed his life. He walked throughout. And actually, when my dad went with the Lord, I didn't know what to do, in that I wanted him, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? What a great thing to happen to your mentor. Seeing them running the race and completing the race. Church, we are the hope. God has done it. He sent Christ to come and die for us, to demonstrate that love to the world that hates. We don't have any reason to hate. When we hate, the love of God is not in us. In our study this morning, in our small groups, the book we're doing is Counterculture, and it's by David Platt. And actually, we are in the 5th chapter of that book that we are doing today. So we are watching a video, and he was talking about race. And he said, you know what? When God created, he did not create black and white. He made the race, human race. And you know, it was more of the demonstration of the fall, you know, not understanding who God is, not knowing who God is. And so he said that this kind of hatred is happening because we are selfish. We are proud. All these things that are happening to us were not in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself to the point of death, that you and I will come to know who he is. So after talking about all these things, the next question, as we look at the agape love, where are we? What do we do? And how do we do it? So as I stated, first we have to understand the love of God. We can't do this unless we know who God is. Secondly, we have to demonstrate by the power of God who Christ is in us and what he has done to you and me. Love, this very agape love, motivates us to love God. Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The second thing that this agape love motivates us to do is to love our neighbor. Matthew 22:39. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The third one, even our enemies. This very love is commanding us to love our enemies. Matthew 5:43-46 says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that?" This cannot happen, church, without knowing God. We cannot love our enemies. That's the hardest thing to do. We are taught to hate our enemies. But Christ went a step ahead and said, love them and pray for them. It happens when you pray. There's nothing impossible with prayer. Amen? I want us to try this week. If we have our enemies, pray for them. And wait and see how God will work things out for you. What kind of peace you are going to have in praying for your enemies. You know, you have to love somebody to pray for them. Hate is not of God. God is commanding us to love because his name is love. Amen? How deep the Father's love is for you and for me. This love is amazing, church. It's the love of God. We can only do this through Christ Jesus. In John 17:6-26, I will not read everything, but he said, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now know that everything you have given me comes from you. I have gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them." Christ is praying for us. When Christ went to report, to give a report to the Father, it's time for him. He has completed the work that God sent him to do. The work that was an act of love, demonstrating the Father's love for us. He was now saying that they have accepted you. I've given everything that you've given me. That means our life has been transformed. Christ was testifying that the work is done. You and I don't have any reason now to hold back. Because it is finished. Christ did it at the cross. So when you're asking, how am I going to do it? We are going to do it through Christ Jesus. Because he's the one in us who has taught us to love the way he loved his Father and the way the Father loved him and the way the Father loved the world. Amen? Amen. This is the love that is going to draw people to Christ. In Matthew, when we're being given the Great Commission, say, go to the edges of the world and preach this gospel. There's no gospel outside love. There's no gospel outside this agape love, church. We have to understand this love not on money. It says we do not love money, we don't love darkness, we don't love men's approval. Those are the things that are separating us from the love of God. Knowing God will change the way we love him and we love his word. It's going to change the way we love each other. It's going to change the way we love our community. It's going to change the way we love the church. This love is going to cause us to act It's going to motivate us to do that which God has called us to do. It will give us power to do the impossibles, loving the way He loves and living a God-honoring life, because we understand the love of God by knowing who God is. We are going to be the hand of God reaching out to the needy and give hope to the hopeless and help the guilty to know that there is freedom in Christ Jesus because He forgives. God, whom we love and we serve, wants us to go out and show that love, wants us to act that love. This will only happen through prayer. If we cannot do it, we can ask God. Amen? Amen. That's where the prayer comes in. Because I cannot do it, God. I need you. When you're asking God to help you do it, we stay in the Word of God, we pray and ask God, and He will do it. Because the God we serve is a loving and a faithful God. That's His will for us. You are here today because God wants you here today. You are going through what you're going through because God wants you to go through that. It can be so painful. But the comfort we have that God loves us. This love is what helps us to go through what we're going through. Because if you understand God loves you, I may not understand that, but if God helps you to understand that He loves you no matter what, in death He loves you, in sickness He loves you, in peace and joy He loves you. He's a God who will not change. He loves you no matter what. You are His own. He marked you with a mark. So there's no way that even when you are in that situation, He's not going to demonstrate His love for you. And that's the love that is going to carry you through if you understand that God loves you. I had a story about this man that was going through a lot. He was a great preacher. And when he fell, it's like the world has fallen. He hated himself so much. And the story was told that one time when he was in prison, he was serving. And that particular day, he was cleaning the bathrooms, he was in robes. And one of the wardens came and said, "There's somebody who wants to see you." And he said, "I don't want to see anybody." He hated himself. He felt like everything has gone. He had to be reminded of the love of God in the very situation in which he was, in the fallen state in which he had found himself. So he didn't want to do that. But the warden said, "This man, you have to see this man." He pulled himself together and went to see this man. And actually, this was a great preacher of the Word of God, Brother Billy. It's a story that I know all of you know. And this was happening in the life of Jim Baker. And the story goes that when Baker saw Billy, he cried. He cried bitterly. And that was a reminder of God's love. He was like, "Who am I that this great preacher can come to see in this state when everybody feel like you are done?" Church, we'll find ourselves in those situations. But even in those situations, God's love never fails. He never runs out. God still loves you. He cares for you. There are a number of verses that are talking about the love of God. And just in a way, in concluding, I want us to leave here today knowing the love of God. I want us to start by thinking and knowing who God is. Who is God to you? How much do you think God loved his son? What do you think about that? How much did you think God loved his son? And how much do you think Christ loved his father? And then think about how much God loves you. How much did Jesus love you? He loves you. He loves me. The famous children's song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I was shocked one day. I was in Canada. And that was my first trip when I got there with the Christian Union. It was the InterVarsity Christian group. And so we went to one of the colleges to play football. I didn't understand a thing about football. It was cold. So people chasing this ball, I'm like, what are they doing? I didn't understand anything about this game. So even when I was going, I didn't buy into the game. I was just glad I was going to spend time with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so when we were there, it was an opportunity for the InterVarsity, for my university, to the other one to connect. And so the game was over in the evening, and we went and we were going around praying around the dorms in that campus. So we went to the first residential hall. We stood around, held our hands together in a circle, and we prayed. And we went to the second one, we went to the third one. When we went to the fifth one, our leader said that, let's hold our hands and sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. I've never really forgotten that day. We sang in the circle, and it didn't even take getting the second, yes, Jesus loves me. And we saw people coming down from the stairs. A group of university students joined us, and I would say it was more than 15 people coming to join us. And so when we finished singing that song, we opened the circle and they were with us, they joined us. Some of them stand by. But this gentleman came and said, I need Jesus. We didn't preach. But the song alone, God used that song. And when we followed up, we were talking after he accepted Christ, he said that he was so hopeless. He was feeling so hopeless. He wanted to end his life. And he could not understand. And couldn't even think there's somebody who loves him. And so he said, I wanted this Jesus because this is the hope that I have. Nothing has never made sense to me. My life is not going the way I want it to be. I feel like it's time to end my life. This very love we are talking about, it's the love that changed the life of this young man. He was leaving Canada, coming to U.S. 3 years later after that. And actually, our leader told me that the very guy was a preacher and was reaching out to the people on the streets, sharing the love of God with them, because he came to know the Lord and came to understand this very agape love. Church, it is important for us to know that this very agape love is what has changed your life, and the world needs this love. We have to live and demonstrate this very love of God to the world that needs it the most. A few verses, John 17:26. Romans 5:5, Galatians 5:22. See, agape love comes from God, not our own effort. Romans 5:8 and Revelation 1:5. It was agape love that caused Christ to sacrifice himself for us. Romans 14:15. And 1 Corinthians 8:1, it is not loving to lead another into sin. That's the kind of agape love. It is not loving to lead somebody to sin. Colossians 3:19, men are called to show agape love to their wives. James 1:12 and 2:5, love of God will result in rewards in heaven. 2 Peter 2:15, John 1:2:15, it is impossible to sacrificially love something that is not godly. And so the famous book that talks about love that we all know is the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's known as the chapter on love. That is the book that speaks more about agape love than 1 John. But there are two things I want us to leave today with. The first is that it's false to claim that we have agape love while not agape love loving other believers. So we cannot claim that we have agape love if we can't love each other. We cannot love God without loving brothers and sisters. We also love Him. So these two things cannot go together. I can't say I love God and I don't love my brother. I can't say I love God and I don't love what God loves. He loves everybody. He wants the world to come to Him. Your heart needs to start crying out for that community in which you live, in that school where you are, the people that the Lord has brought in your life. See the love of God for you and for them, because that's what's going to cover a lot that makes you to hate them, that makes you not even to want to pray for them, that makes them your own enemies. Because when you know God, who loves them, who sent His Son to come and die for them, you will love them just the way God loves them. It's going to change us. It's going to change our community. It's going to change our country. We are going to show love that God wants us to show, because we understand that for us to love God, we love His own. The second is that it is false to claim we agape love God, that we love God if we don't obey Him. It is impossible to love God while ignoring what He says. So those are things that are together. They are connected. You can't separate them. The love of God and obeying His word are connected. It's the word of God that teaches us who God is, that teaches us how to pray, that helps us to love each other. So we cannot. So as we live here today, church, I want us to think about that love. Let's think about that deep love of the Father that He has for us, that He laid His life for you and me, for the world, that we can come back and have a fellowship with Him. Let's take some time and think about that love. You may feel hopeless. You may feel like things are not working the way you want them to work. But I want us to know that God loves you. And He's there. He said that He's the one who's going to stay closer to you. That's a promise. And He's a faithful God. Like the song we sang last, let's talk about His faithfulness. James, if you guys mind coming. I want us to pray. And I just want you to take some time and just see where you are and with what God has, where God has brought you from and what God is doing in your life concerning the love that He has for you. And as I said, how are we going to do it? We can't do it unless we pray, asking the Holy Spirit to help us. Spend some time in the presence of the Lord and just talk to Him about that. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank You this morning Thank you, dear Lord God, that your love is a deep love. The love that made Christ to come and die for us. The love that has changed our life. The love that has moved us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. The love that will give us life. The love that has reconciled us back to you. The love that has shown us how to love you and to love others, oh God. The love that has gone with us through the hills and the valleys. The love that gives us hope. Father, help us this morning that we will know this love in a deeper way than before. May you show us how to love. In Jesus' name.